Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
From TV to smartphones to social media, the lives of U.S. children and families are dominated by 24/7 media exposure. Is this good for our children, bad for our children, and how, as parents, do we monitor or do we come up with a media use plan with our children? Of course we do. My guest is Dr. David Hill. He's the Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics in Wilmington, North Carolina, and a very frequent and favorite guest here on Healthy Children. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hill. Media use and our children. What can we do as parents to
Yeah, it's tough. Look, I've got five kids in my household, ranging in age from 8 to 15 right now, and this stuff is everywhere. We have to put this into place. I was very excited to listen to my friend and colleague, Dr. Strasburger, just now explain some about our new media use statement at the American Academy of Pediatrics and media and kids, and then the hard thing is going home and making this happen, right? We know we need to monitor and have some input into what's going on, but boy, when you get into the house, you start cooking dinner and doing laundry and helping people with homework, who knows? And the media are everywhere, right? They're on the cell phones, they're on the tablets, they're on the television. You can't really get away from them. So how do you corral everybody? And that's something we have to practice. One of the first things that helps is to set a good example yourself, right? If you say, which is one of the things we recommend, the dining table really shouldn't be a place that we're all staring at screens, right? There are a lot of reasons to think that sitting down at dinner once a night and looking at each other as a family and talking opens up tremendous degrees of communications. It lets you share your values with your kids. Here's what's going on with them. It may even protect children from things like early alcohol use and tobacco use and drug use and high-risk sexual behavior and school failure just by sitting down and talking to them every night at the dinner table, which you cannot do if you're also playing Angry Birds at the same time. So, you know, that's thing number one. Say there are some areas where we're not going to bring our media, and then you have to set that example as well. The dinner table is one of them. Another one is the bedroom. We know the kids, for example, who have televisions in the bedroom, tend to watch more TV. Is that a surprise? No, it should surprise nobody. It's right there in front of you, and you know, maybe nobody sees what's going on. We also know that parents have a harder time monitoring the media when it's in the bedroom. So, you know, ideally you'd keep it out. At our house, sometimes somebody wants to do homework up in their bedroom, and the deal there is you got to have the door open. I need to be able to walk in and see. Even better, you'd like the computer in a public place where I can walk by and see what's going on anytime. It's very hard to use an electronic net nanny to do this. Kids tend to figure them out. Adults have a hard time with them. You are the net nanny. As one of my friends, Dr. Michael Rich, likes to say, the best piece of hardware for internet safety is the kitchen table.
That's a great saying. I love that. And it's absolutely true. And we have the same policy as you, Dr. Hill, that we keep. If the homework has to be done in the room, it is absolutely door open. Walk in and out whenever I feel like it, stand and look over the shoulder, you know. But you're right, we get busy and we're making dinner and it's like, okay, just go do your homework. And, you know, you're not really being in the moment with it. And those moments are the ones that we miss and the things that we may miss something that they're doing or seeing or any of those things. How do we come up with a use plan? So you've talked about the bedroom. You have talked about the kitchen table being great. You've talked about the dining room table and no playing Angry Birds there. What else? How do we get our kids on board with this stuff?
You know, one thing I'll add to that, we're looking to try and keep everybody's media use at 2 hours or less a day. It tends to displace other activities. So to make a plan, it's really a contract. And contracts work best when they're written down and also when they get buy-in from other family members. So I really encourage parents, involve your kids in what's going on. That doesn't mean they get veto power, but they can have some say. Call a family meeting. Say, hey, guys, we are really concerned. We just read this new policy statement. We heard about this from the AAP, and we need to get together and really come up with a plan for this. So we're going to write this down. We're going to take notes. We say you get X hours of media time a day. 2 hours the most we'd like to see. 1 hour is probably better than two. Now, of course, that's not homework time, right? If you're researching your term paper, that's something different. But for entertainment, we're going to say this is how many hours a day. Some people will make that on a reward, right? For every A, you get 15 minutes. And for every C, we take away 15 minutes, right? You can write that into the plan however you want. And then everybody signs it. You also say, what happens if we don't do it? If I find your computer in your bedroom after you go to bed, or at all, maybe you lose it for a week. If I find that you're texting at the dining room table, maybe you lose your phone for 24 hours. These are suggestions. It's going to work within your family values, within what you think is important. And then get the kids to say, like, ask them, so if I find your sister using her cell phone in her room, when I've asked her not to, what do you all think is an appropriate punishment? You know, let them throw something out there. And then there's a sense of empowering the kids and involving them. And then you sign the thing. And when it happens, say, oh, look, I have this right here. This is our plan. Even better, take a picture of it with your cell phone, store it in your photos, and then show it to them, right?
Yeah,
you can use the technology to control the technology.
Well, and I told Dr. Strasburger before you, my kids are only allowed that stuff on the weekends, and it's only, they're none of it. No TV, nothing on the weekdays. And on the weekends, it's only really limited based on their grades and their homework being done and all. So, I mean, we've got that down as an understanding. I don't have to fight about it anymore. But then
yeah,
the weekend comes around.
And that's a great thing.
Well, it's cool, but then the weekend comes around, and Mom, I didn't play all week. I got really good grades this week. I want to sit here, and it's going to be longer than 2 hours, and then the fight ensues.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, and you know what? That's where having that written plan really helps, because I think all of us with kids get really tired of the ongoing negotiations, right? That's one of the hardest things about being a parent, right? Can I have 3 scoops of ice cream? 2 scoops? You know, it goes on. It happens with the media. I'm not done. Can I play for another 15 minutes? Well, my brother played for 10 extra minutes, and he didn't tell you. When you've got a clear plan, you can be like, look, here's what it says. We all agreed to this. You're done.
Well, okay, so we've got the plan. We've written a contract. So very smart of advice from you, Dr. Hill. We've got the contract. We're keeping it out of the bedrooms, keeping things at the kitchen table. Dining room table is for conversation, really. That's all, and eating. So what are we missing here? Is there anything we're missing about watching what it is they do when on there?
Absolutely. And first of all is content. And even though interactive content is exploding, it's huge. Kids still spend more time than anything else watching shows, right? It's still main use of electronic time, even with all that texting, all those games, et cetera, even with Minecraft. So take a look at the shows. We just heard Dr. Strasburger talk about sitting down and watching with them. And then you can see what's going on, and you can stop and talk about it. And those conversations are where you share your family's values and where you hear what your kids are doing. Content matters. Kids who watch more sexual content on TV or whatever they're watching tend to engage in earlier and more risky sexual behavior. The same is true for kids who see a lot of tobacco use. Whether it's the good guy or the bad guy doesn't matter. It's just quantity of use. If they see people using drugs or drinking, they think that's normal. They think it's okay. So you look for these things. Is it R-rated content and your child is not an R-rated child? You feel okay restricting those things. And then you're going to hear, well, all of my friends have seen this movie. How come I can't see it? And then it's like, you know what? Our family may have different rules than your friends' families, and that's okay.
Okay, so in the last 30 seconds, wrap it up for us, Dr. Hill, so beautifully as you can, media use and a media use plan for families.
You know, if you write it down, you let the kids talk about it a little bit, explain it to them, then you're going to have a document where they feel some input, they understand what it's about, and you can stop the negotiating and just say, look, here's what we all agreed to.
Okay, so just set out the plan, and everybody will have to agree to it, and everybody signs it. That's key as well. So as a family, as a parent, you can set out these rules and get your kids on board with it, monitor what they're doing, create a media use plan. It's great advice. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. The show is Healthy Children, and stay well.